Hey, Peter, we're sitting inside the Boston Public Library WGBH studio right now.
Right, but that wasn't always the case.
But that's because they're open. We were locked out because the library doesn't open until 1 o'clock, and we got all of our schedule screwed up a little bit. And
well, we changed the clocks.
Well, that's not true.
That's not at all true.
There were all kinds of mix-ups. It doesn't matter because our guest, Dan Janis, met us outside on the sidewalk.
Yes, he did.
Out in the public square, quite literally, because there was a lot of public huddled around us, some of them loud.
There was a lot of humanity around us.
Gorgeous day here in downtown Boston.
And we often talk about the finish line of the Boston Marathon.
We were right there.
We were cozied up right on it.
So why did Dan come on our show? Let's talk this up a little bit, Peter.
Well, Dan has what he calls a Danifesto that you can read on his site, which is danjanis.com, DanJanis.com. I urge everyone to go ahead and check him out. So by day, corporate lawyer, as you're wont to be. By not day, or early day, or sometimes evenings, he's an avid runner. And he's a crazy dude who loves to run. And he's on a mission to run a marathon in all 50 states. Do you know how many he's run so far?
Well, if he's me, he would have done 2.
I don't want to spoil it, because he'll tell us in the interview, but it's like 40.
What?
He's done 40 already. He's almost done.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, no, he's a machine. He looks amazing.
Yeah.
He's spry.
Yeah.
He's golden.
Yeah.
Did you ever see that glow on him? He actually had, like, the Oakley, like, wind tan going on. Did you look at him close? He's definitely an outdoorsy guy.
Is he a photo? Is he a print model?
He might be a print or, you know, loose commercial model.
Peter, be very, very honest with me. Does he have his own standee of himself in his house? A life-size,
like, a
photo
cutout
of him running because his sponsors took one.
I actually asked him, because on his site, if you go right now to danjanis.com, what you'll see is it's sponsored by Goo.
Yeah.
And I asked him, how did you, because we're into that market, you know, what's going on, how you do that? He said, oh no, I just took that and put it on there. I said, well, it totally legitimizes you, because I believed it.
Of course.
So God bless him. So he's a bit of a wackadoodle, but I like it.
I love it.
And you're going to hear about all the sorts of things he's tackled and some crazy stories. I don't want to ruin it, but one involves a porta potty that's moving.
All of my favorite stories involve a porta potty
that move.
This one's mobile.
Yeah, this one's mobile. Yeah,
let's step out to the sidewalk and talk to Dan.
And let's enjoy that right now.
Peter, we're here with Dan Janis, standing outside of the Boston Public Library.
Steps away from the finish line of the Boston Marathon. Dan, you're a runner, you're a lawyer, you're a journeyman. Have you ever run the Boston Marathon?
I did. I ran the Boston Marathon in 2014,
ooh,
and it was not a great race, and I feel like a little bit of a fraud whenever I say that I ran the Boston Marathon, because I did. I ran it, and I finished it. I think in some circles in the running community, when you say you ran the Boston Marathon, that implies that you qualified for the Boston Marathon, which I did not. And I
join
ran
the crowd. Yeah,
there's three people here right now who have not qualified, so don't worry.
I got in because I have a friend of a friend of a friend that had a bib that knows a guy that called me about 3 weeks before the Boston Marathon and said, I got a bib, you want to do it? And I said, sure.
Yeah, I want to do
so
that.
So your bib fell off the back of a truck is what you're saying.
Exactly.
You can't do that anymore. That was then.
That's right.
Hard to do it now.
But
2014, hot.
Yeah, it was hot, yep. It was the year after the bombing, so there was a lot of
very
that
emotional
in the air.
Biggest year, I think.
It was
biggest
the biggest
turnout.
Year, I think so.
That's right.
So that, of course, was not your first marathon.
No, that was well into the the list. I think that might have been maybe number 40 or late 30s.
So let's talk about that. So you have a list. You're trying to do all 50 states. Is that correct?
That's right. Yep.
Is that one of many lists that you have? Because you seem like a list guy.
I'm a list-oriented person. So in terms of errands that I need to run this afternoon.
Sure.
Things that I've neglected at work that I didn't do any work on Friday and need to go back Monday and start banging off that list. But this is my most passionate list, and the one that I've been working on for the longest is doing a marathon in every state.
Wow.
And my last one was state number 40.
Whoa.
And so
almost
I kind of have a
what state was that?
10. That was Nebraska.
Right.
Was the last one. And so 10 to go. And
that's crazy.
Yeah, it's been about an 11-year project so far, and I got a couple years left probably.
Okay, so what was your first, like, here's the biggest question, is did you do this regionally? Because you would think maybe you would either begin or end in Boston since you live here in Massachusetts, but that's sort of, it was sort of in the middle.
Yeah.
So how have you decided which ones to race, and how many do you do a year?
So when I first started off 11 years ago, I was doing two a year, three mm-hmm. a year, and then it escalated up to 2017 was the most I've done in a year. I did seven that year.
Holy cow. That's too many.
Was it too many? I mean, did you physically feel that?
Yeah. And that included a one-time only back-to-back, 2 days, two marathons.
Yep.
Where was that?
That was Connecticut and Newport, Rhode Island. Hartford, okay. Connecticut, Newport, Rhode Island. And that was just brought about by the Marathon Maniacs Club that I'm part of. And you can. They have a star system mm-hmm. in the Marathon Maniacs, and you can jump straight from one star to four stars if you do two marathons in 2 days.
Wow!
And once you have a star, you know who wants one star.
Right.
So you got to do something to jump.
A star says, "I need more stars."
Exactly. So I've been doing, four or five a year most years, and in terms of figuring out the states and where it was when I first started doing marathons and kind of caught the bug and started loving it. Mm-hmm. Did a couple, and I love to travel. I love to travel anywhere for any reason.
You like a destination?
Just to see places, and it doesn't have to be fancy. And so after a few, I thought, well, this would be kind of fun to try to do all the states. Every time I got done with a race, I'd have another one on the calendar, mm-hmm. and or two on the calendar, or three on the calendar, and it's just such a fun way to see places and go places you wouldn't go otherwise.
How much time do you get to spend in a city or a state where you're running the marathon? Because it sounds like you probably have to dip in and dip out real fast.
That's right. So this gets back to that big problem that we were talking about before of having a job.
Yeah.
And it is
in the way.
Really, really cramping my style, mm-hmm. but that's what you got to do. So sometimes my wife and I, who my wife comes to half,
okay.
maybe the races with me, and if it's someplace she'd like to go and we can build a vacation around it, you know, we might do that and spend a week. But I've become very good at taking 1 day off of work or 0 days off work and flying in on a Friday night
wow.
and coming home on a Sunday morning at the mercy of whether flights work and mm-hmm. Whether you actually get there.
Have you ever missed a marathon because of travel?
I did. Last year, I was supposed to do the Hawkeye Marathon in Fayetteville, Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a really busy work week. I hadn't listened to the news all week. And I was the only person in the country that didn't know about this massive problem that Delta Airlines was having. And there was weather all over the country.
Yeah.
And they canceled 40,000 flights. And I didn't know about that. So I got on my flight from Boston to Atlanta. It was a piece of cake. And I got to Hartfield Airport in Atlanta, and it looked like a refugee camp.
Mm-hmm.
There were people that had been there for days, sleeping on the floor. And my flight to Fayetteville, they said it was delayed an hour. And, all right, that's okay. So then it was delayed another hour, another hour, another hour. And then I was thinking, all right, now I'm going to get in at 3 in the morning, but all right.
I can still toe the line. I'm fine.
And then at about midnight, they said it's canceled. And so I spent the night in the airport, and I came home. But I went back this year and did it.
Oh, great.
Phew.
Just despite Delta's best efforts.
Oh, wait, hold on. Let's go back. What age were you when you first ran?
Gosh, I would have to crunch the numbers on that. I am 44 now, and I think I've been doing this for 11 years. So
you look 28.
If anybody wonders if running is good for you,
yeah.
absolutely. Yes. Here's our model.
Did you see the back of my head?
Yeah, I'll show you mine if you show me yours.
Yeah,
was and it high school, grade school. You knew you were fast.
I'm a late bloomer for running. I really didn't start running really at all until I was in law school in my late 20s.
Yeah.
Just ran a little bit, and then just caught the bug. So this is all pretty new, and it's nice not to have a younger you to compare yourself to.
Mm-hmm.
Where you feel like you're getting
worst.
Slower all the time because I never did that.
Yeah.
And my real goal is I want to just. I don't care about being fast. I want to just do this forever.
Mm-hmm.
And I get most inspired by the, 78-year-old guys that run 6.5-hour marathons
mm-hmm.
and just, show up and do them.
Yeah.
And that's I want to be that guy who's still doing this,
Peter wants
forever.
To run with his shirt off throughout
his 60s. Yeah, I
have this
goal. Like, I just got to hit 60.
Yeah.
Shirt comes off, white hair everywhere, and just run.
That's achievable.
I think I can do that.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter how fast.
Yep.
It's better if I'm slow because people can really soak it in.
That's right.
I'm not sure that's better.
Well, it might be. Not for you. We're not going to do any races together when we're 60.
Okay, do you have the 50th in mind already?
I think it's probably going to be Alaska.
Okay. Have you run Hawaii already?
I've done Hawaii. Oh, I did that kind of early on. Honolulu.
Why not make it a vacation?
Yeah, right. I think that'll be sort of the big aspirational one to get to.
Now, do you care if you're running like the premier marathon of the state or whatever one fits in your schedule?
Yeah, no, not at all. And and I really like my favorites are the two extreme sides of it. I love the huge New York, Boston Marine Corps marathons, and then I love the one like I just did in Nebraska with 29 people.
That was
in the
middle, 29
people? 29 of us.
Yep. Cornfield.
Yeah, it was a half a school bus of people. So the
what
whole
was the course like.
So this race in Nebraska, they said it was in Valentine, Nebraska.
Yeah.
Population 2,800. In fact, it was 40 miles outside of Valentine, and Valentine was just the closest town where there is a motel to stay at. So. This was just beautiful. It was the race started at 6, and we had to work backwards. It was a point-to-point race, and so they wanted you to be at the end of the race at 5 in the morning, and so you had to get 40 miles from Valentine to be there at 5, and they said leave an hour to get there. So you should leave at 4. I'm always very early with things, so I left at 3:45.
Had you arrived the night before?
This one, I gave myself an extra day because I had to drive from Sioux Falls, South Dakota, a four-hour drive to get to Valentine.
Oh, my God.
So we got to the finish line, and they had a bus waiting, and 29 of us got on the bus, and they drove us to the start, and it was gorgeous. The sun was just coming up before the race started, and then it was the race organizer got out of the bus, pulled out a shotgun, shot the gun off. And we were off for the race.
Now, was this a non-supported race? Like, were there water stops or anything?
There were water stops, and the best thing that they had, and one of the selling points of the race, is that they had a roving porta potty, and two of them. So the race director and his wife each had a pickup truck with a trailer with a porta potty on the back. And they just drove up and down the course.
Now, when you went to use it...
Was there a hand signal you used to let them know to stop?
It was very casual. I mean, they actually just had to lean their head out the window, and they'd just say, hey, you doing okay? And you say, I'm fine, keep going. And if you wanted them to stop, you just say, I could use a rest stop.
So it's occupied when they stop moving it.
That's right. And they had a strict protocol for... making sure that when they were about to leave, nobody was inside.
Got it.
They banged very, very hard on the door a couple times and triple checked that nobody's still sitting there. Good amenities and really fun race.
Dan, when you're in a race with only 29 people and you're sort of out in the middle of nowhere, do you know any of the people you're running with? Do you run in a pack or does it separate? How does that work?
Yeah, so when it's that few people over about the course of the first mile, you start to separate out a little bit. People get faster and slower. And then after a couple miles, you're just all alone.
Now, when you're on the bus, did you talk to anybody? Did you kind of say, hey, what's your pace? What's your pace?
Yeah. Or? So I've done enough of these now that I know the types. And right at the beginning of a conversation, I can tell what type of person we're talking about. So I had met some people that the night before they had a pasta dinner, and so we got to see some of the people who were there and chat. And for really obscure races like this, it's sort of 50-50 people who are right from the area, and then there's a lot of people who are doing the 50 state thing, and so you have a lot of that to talk about. But the type of person, some people on the bus at 4:30 in the morning want to just be quiet and rest and take it easy, and then some people want to talk.
So, Dave, you run so many of these. How many other people are you running into that are also doing crazy streaks like this, either all 50 states or are running in different countries or things like that?
There's a lot of those folks, and it's like any kind of hobby that you have. Whenever you get into something, you become exposed to this whole universe of people who are, crazy, crazy obsessed about it. And so when I tell somebody, at work that I'm trying to run a marathon in every state, he'll say, oh my God, that's crazy. And then when you go to these races and you meet people who are on their fifth time through all 50 states or have done, 600 marathons, or they've done one every week for the last 2 years or something, it kind of keeps things in perspective. So there's definitely, I don't see a lot of people that I actually know, mm-hmm. you know, race by race, but you meet a lot of people who are doing this kind of thing. And I think I mentioned I'm a member of the Marathon Maniacs, which is this online group.
Okay.
And in that, you can see ahead of time who's going to be doing what races, and people have their shirts, and you can approach them and say hello. And the Marathon Maniacs actually is a really good website, which you don't have to be a member to see, for finding races. And
okay.
That's a good sort of planning tool. But there's a lot of crazies out there that are doing all the states and much, much more. And then there's the
much,
whole world
much
of
more.
Well, there's
much
the whole
more, Brian.
Ultra,
what else is
the,
there?
There's so much more.
Yeah. So I've drawn a strict line for myself that marathon distance is all I ever need to do, mm-hmm. because
you're not tempted slightly.
I'm not tempted
by
even
the ultra.
So many people have told us lately, yeah. ultras are easier than road marathons because you're going slower and you're taking longer to do it.
I think that might be true, but then you also get to the point where you start hallucinating and you have to make sure you feed yourself during the race.
I think having to wear a headlamp is the cutoff for me.
I don't need
to wear a headlamp.
Yeah.
And run.
I'm okay with a headlamp.
You want to go 24 hours, Peter?
I mean, there is something to that. There's an allure to the idea of I ran the same time a day yesterday and it's now today and I haven't stopped. Like, that's amazing. But then it needs to end. I don't want to see multiple hours.
It only builds. You only continue to go further.
But I do like the idea of, well, you get older, you get slower, so just do longer. Yeah. I do think that's alluring.
You could also use that same strategy for qualifying for Boston, where you don't have to get faster.
I'm trying to.
The standard just gets lower.
It doesn't get that much lower.
No,
I mean, I'm
true.
Looking at 74, 75 years old before I really can.
Yeah, and they're going to keep changing it, too. By the time you turn 74, you'll have to be 89.
And I'd have to be this pace that I'm now, and I don't know if I will be, because that's starting to slip. It's not easy. Yeah.
Well, that's a question, Dan. You've been doing this streak for, you said, 11 years, the 50 states.
Yeah.
How has your marathon running gone? Have you gotten faster, slower? Have they gotten easier? Has your recovery? What changes have you seen over a decade?
Yeah, I think in terms of how easy or hard it is, a lot of it just depends on how I happen to have been training. And that has a lot to do with just who I am running with every day. And I've got a regular group of people that I run with almost every morning. And over the years, people come and go from the group. And we sort of just generally as a group gravitate to become a little bit faster or a little bit slower. And so that sort of without any real thought or effort has become a real sort of governing thing. Recovery has gotten much easier because now I just, I run at least 13 miles every Saturday, and then mm-hmm. I ramp that up a little bit as a marathon is getting closer. And the recovery, I probably push myself more than I should after a race. I usually take 2 days off and then I'm back out. But that's just for psychological sanity mm-hmm. purposes, because if I went that third day without running, I would just fall apart as a human being. So it definitely gets easier. And, you know, when you've done enough of anything, you kind of understand better during the race how you're feeling and whether you should push it and how hard mm-hmm. and how it's going to turn out in the end if you do things wrong in the beginning. So it's like anything, you know, with experience, you get a little bit more insight and you get better at it. But physically, like I said, my goal is to just do this forever until I'm really, really old.
Yeah.
And pace is not really the goal for me. Once in a while, I'll get sort of a surprise PR that I might not have been expecting, but I'm not really paying attention to where I am in the pack or pace.
And what's your next race?
So my next race is Bismarck, North Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
That's in September. And that's a city I don't really know anything about. And we'll see what that's like when I get there. I have no preconceptions.
It's right. Nice.
So, Bismarck?
Yeah.
Have you been to Bismarck?
Yeah. Peter? It's pretty nice.
I've been to Fargo, North Dakota.
Yeah.
And that's it. So,
how much time are you going to have there? Is it one of those fly-in?
That's going to be an
in
and
tarmac,
out.
Go.
That's right. Yep. My wife did not opt in for that one.
Yeah.
And so that's going to be an in and out. And I actually have a friend who lives there. Actually, I had a friend who lives there. This is you, Nick. Who I
hey,
told
Nick,
him.
Hey, Nick. What's going on?
I said I was coming out for the race, and he said, "Oh, that's great."
You called him a eunuch. Yeah. That was pretty good.
And then he emailed me a week ago, and he said he's moving.
Oh no! Oh, oops. All right. Well, where's he going to? Because maybe that's on your list.
He's actually moving to Fargo, which I've done a half in Fargo, but
not
the full.
Not a full.
So cause correlation. It's hard to. It's hard to say.
So hold on a second. Where are you now in your timeline? How many more? Well, how soon until you do all the remaining 10?
So it gets more logistically complicated yes. each state you do, because yes. every more state you've done, there are fewer left to choose from.
To go get, yeah.
And it's harder to make it work on the calendar. Yeah. And there are times of year when races are sort of concentrated.
Yeah, sure.
So with 10 more to go, I think I can probably figure out a way to do 3 new states a year for the next 3 years.
Okay, so 2021-ish. So
that's something like that.
Yeah. When that happens, when you hit the 50th, and clearly save Alaska for last,
yep.
we'll go out, we'll be on the boat.
That's right.
We'll shuttle up from Seattle. Yep. It'll be great.
Perfect.
You mean the Bush pilot plane?
Yeah. Sure. Yeah, we'll parachute in.
We can all share a room.
That'd be fine. Once you have that, bragging rights, your manifesto on your blog yep. will be robust.
It'll be complete.
That can't be the end for you. What's the next stage?
So that is a mission critical life question that I have been seriously thinking about for a long time. And there's two paths. One is that I am going to have a serious nervous breakdown, midlife crisis. I'm going to move out into the woods, start smoking, and just kind of do something else.
Yeah.
And I haven't thought of what the other path is yet. I got to figure out something.
Do you think it'll be running related?
Yeah. Having this project has been it's what I love most about anything. And it's the running is great. I love to run, but it's also just always having something on the calendar that you're going to do in a couple months.
Yeah.
And it's just been, years and years. There's some other add-ons you could do. I was thinking maybe the Canadian provinces.
Oh, nice.
Now it's becoming like a trend to do the 7 continents in 7 days. That's probably not ever going to happen.
It's again,
but there's not that many continents.
Thing.
Logistics are taken care of.
Oh,
you just have to show up with a lot of money.
Yeah.
I think you need about $40,000 maybe is the
and you would have to
that.
Take a few days off of work.
So, yeah, well,
that
at least
one
a week.
You can
at least a week.
At least a week.
Yeah.
Only a week.
Yeah, but only. You could probably do it in four days.
Yeah.
7 continents, 7 marathons, 4 days.
Sure. Because I got to get back to work.
Right.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I don't know. And, I could, like I said, there's a lot of people that just reset and start the 50 states again. But it seems like less of a sort of big deal for a person to just do the same thing a second time.
Where are you on other countries right now?
I've only done one other country, and that was for my 40th birthday. I ran the Reykjavik, Iceland marathon.
How was that?
That was wonderful.
That's awesome.
It was. Iceland is a really, really neat place, and for a lot of reasons. But one of the most fun things was, as part of the race, they gave you tickets to just do stuff around Reykjavik, and one of them was to go to a public hot bath.
Yeah,
and
sure.
There's sort of the fancy spa kind of touristy ones, but this one is just a public bath, and it's what people really do after work in Reykjavik. You go to work, and then you go sit in a hot spring pool. It's like a giant jacuzzi that can fit 300 people. And so after
heated
the race,
by a volcano.
Yeah, yeah. So after the race, we just kind of walked over to the
That's
community
awesome.
Pool, and I mean, there's nothing better after a race than sitting in a jacuzzi, basically.
Yeah.
So that one was fun. And
how
Iceland
was the fermented
was
really
cool.
shark? Was that all right?
I kept going, and I was going to do it, and then I just kept checking it out.
It looks rough.
I didn't do it.
It looks like that's not what I want.
I think there's a whole YouTube genre of people eating
not,
fermented
yeah.
shark.
There's
and
a
their
lot
reactions.
Of things I don't want to eat, and that's really toward the front of the pack.
I know it's a delicacy, but when it came down to it, I
sure.
couldn't do it.
Now, you mentioned that you're a spry 44. Have you yet to be plagued by massive injuries?
I have not, and I'm knocking on stone.
Stone, and whatever we have here.
I hate to even have this conversation.
I know, we all
ask
do.
The question. And,
yes.
I've been very, very lucky. I've had some sort of minor injuries.
Yes.
But nothing that has put me out of commission for more than a couple weeks or a month. And that's I'm always thinking about that. I'm always waiting for that to happen because it's going to. You always inevitably have some injury.
Well, when in doubt, don't change anything. I mean, if it's not getting injured.
Yeah. Well, I was gonna say. I mean, you've now been through enough. Not saying you're immune to injury, but you probably have such an intuitive sense of when you need to back off and when you can push it more than a lot of other people do. When they just say, "Well, I think I should be able to do this."
Yeah, I think...
I sense some hesitation,
I've been lucky, and my...
Do you not have that much self-knowledge?
Well, my strategy towards injury is kind of the same as how I deal with most problems that arise in life, is that I just sort of ignore them and assume they'll somehow get better. And it turns out that actually works a fair percentage.
Yeah,
of time.
A lot of times that
not
works.
Always.
Yeah.
There's some situations where that's the wrong way to do things. Injuries... But my only guiding principle is, does it feel worse while you're running? And
okay.
If it does, then that's really probably bad and you should stop. But if it just hurts and then it either doesn't feel worse or it's okay after, then you kind of power through it. And
I'm at the age now where I notice things feel great while I run, and they immediately hurt when I stop.
And it all falls apart after.
No, that's a real thing.
Just keep running.
So that's a difference.
Right.
Yeah, so I should just keep running. Hence, ultras in my future.
That's probably true. Right. But don't run every day, Peter.
Dan, can I ask you about Utica, New York? I'm doing a race up there called the Boilermaker 15K.
Yeah.
Oh, Utica, Utica. That's where I need to be. Boilermaker 15, you know that's the race for me.
Have you ever heard of that race?
I have heard of it. I have not run it.
Do you know anyone who has?
I know that I do, but I can't
think
of it.
Is it Nick?
It might.
Was it your buddy Nick?
It's not Nick.
He's moving, you know.
Yeah, I know. No, I'm really angry about that.
Shocking.
And questioning.
Yeah, it's weird.
I grew up in Ithaca, New York.
Oh, okay.
Which is...
A stone's throw.
A stone's throw from... It's a couple marathons from Utica.
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
There's a marathon in New York near there, and there's a marathon in Marathon.
I mean, it's a town called Marathon.
A town called Marathon.
Have you done a marathon in Marathon?
I have not.
Yeah, the founders of upstate New York were really into ancient Greece.
Yeah.
And they like
Syracuse.
Yeah. Is there an Athens?
There is an Athens.
Yeah. There is an Athens?
Yep. There's a Troy. Mm-hmm. There's Greek Peak ski resort.
Is there an Acropolis, right. New York?
I don't know. There's plenty of Acropolis pizza places.
Good enough. Okay, how about this one? Can I tantalize you in a race in early December, Boston qualifier, called the Millinocket Maine Marathon?
Where's the finish line? Which way to the finish line? You can't get there from here.
So you said Maine... You said December.
Yeah, you don't listen to our show.
Oh, it's also free. There's no registration.
Yeah, it's free. It's a free Boston qualifier.
Have you done Maine yet? Have you ticked off?
Yeah,
what did you run in Maine?
It was the Mount Desert Island.
Okay.
Harbor.
Sure, yeah.
Race, which is beautiful, beautiful.
Yeah,
beautiful.
I've run that half many times.
But this one is... What are the details?
I mean, there's no details other than it's free.
Okay.
Tends to be a little chilly.
Yeah.
So the whole point of it was to raise money to help this town, Millinocket, which really hit the skids when the last lumber yard and the paper mill closed. So Gary Allen, who's a race director up in Maine, went up there with a bunch of friends, like 35 friends or 40 friends the first year, and said, let's just eat in restaurants and stay in a hotel. Then the next year, 500 people did it.
Gosh.
And then last year, about 1,500 people did it.
Wow.
So it's getting bigger and bigger. Anyway, it's a lot of fun. And we've kind of...
We've co-opted it
and made it our little part of our show.
And the night before, we run a special race called the Crankle 2K. And this will be the third running of it this December. So we'd love to have you.
It's a specialized distance.
Yeah,
The 2K is also, it doesn't really approach 2K. But
the
best part of the whole race, other than being probably in the teens and maybe snowy and icy, is that the first 6 miles are exclusively uphill.
Oh, that sounds good.
So if you
a loop. So you're going to come back around and
do that. You're going to have to do that
13
twice.
Through 19.
And you have to sleep in your car because there's only 40 hotel rooms in the town.
Oh, they're already gone. They've been gone since last December. Yeah, it's over. Yeah.
So now that you're coming,
do you
have any other marathon experiences where it was either completely different than what you were expecting, or this sounds like this one in Nebraska was pretty unusual. Like, you know, something
that's
that
pretty,
was,
yeah.
That was strange, or it was all uphill or all downhill
offbeat.
Or something like that.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you the one, I'll tell you a negative thing about a marathon, and I won't even name the name, except that it's called the Beaver Chase Marathon in Indianapolis. And the only really bad experience I had was doing the Beaver Chase, and it was unexpected in that I respect race directors more than any kind of person it ever.
They have to deal with us.
And that's right. And even if everything goes totally wrong and they're unprepared, I still say, you know, kudos to the race director. It's great. It's volunteer work. And you have to promote a race and you have to put the best spin you can on it. But there's some line that you cross between positive spin and fraud. And
okay. Are you saying there were no actual live beavers on the course? Chasing beavers?
There were no live beavers. And that was the whole point of the race is, you know, it's called the beaver chase. And there was a beaver, a human size, mm-hmm. you know, beaver.
Not the same. Yeah. Not the same.
But it the race got called off midway through because of lightning.
Ooh,
and
right.
It was multiple loops. It was four loops around the same course. Mm-hmm. And it was advertised as having great views of Indianapolis. And the thing is, though, it was sort of in a berm down from the road. And the whole race, all you could see was the side of a berm. And then there was one little part at the very end where you could see a cell tower on top of the tallest building in downtown Indianapolis. And that was the only view of downtown Indianapolis you had. So when they said it had beautiful views of Indianapolis, they meant
that
one cell
spot,
tower on
one
top
time.
Of one
or once
building.
You DNF'd, you yeah. could get
you
some
could,
great views.
Yeah, you could
once you climbed that, up right. over the berm.
So when I DNF'd, I thought they had a host bar that was right near, and you got a ticket for a free beer. So I thought, all right, I'm standing out in the thunder and lightning, mm-hmm. and I didn't finish this race. I'll go get my free beer, and I'll take a selfie with the beaver, who obviously is going to be at the bar at the finish. And so I went there, and I got my beer, and the beaver had left.
Oh, no.
You missed the beaver?
And all the racers were there because the race was called off.
That's right. And
oh,
I thought, you know, the beaver could have had the common courtesy. Yeah.
It's one more hour
around.
Of the beaver's time.
That's right.
Right?
Take a selfie and, you know.
Leave it to beavers. They don't know what they're doing.
Oh!
Thank you.
Didn't even see it coming.
Oh. What's the best post-race party that you have attended?
There are a lot of those, and that is a huge, huge piece of what makes a marathon good or great is the after party. I'd say one of the recent really, really good ones was Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Oh, wow.
In Baton Rouge...
Red Stick?
What's Red Stick?
That's what a Baton Rouge
oh,
is.
Oh, yes, that's right. Baton Rouge. Right. I switch into French.
What's a Moulin Rouge?
It's a windmill.
It's a red windmill.
Red
windmill. Try saying yeah. that. Red Windmill.
Red
Windmill.
So Red Stick, Louisiana.
So yeah, Red Stick, Louisiana.
Is
way to go, Brian.
It's within the New Orleans sort of Creole, let mm-hmm. the good times roll party kind of atmosphere. And so I get done with the race. And a lot of times on your bib, you have one ticket for like a sandwich and a beer ticket
or
something. And so this one, you got to the finish and they pulled off your ticket and they gave you a little like a frat party bracelet. And it had six check boxes on it.
Oh, man.
And so I went and I got a beer.
And you said, I can't eat six sandwiches.
So I went and I got a beer, and the lady gave me my beer, and she checked off one checkbox. And I said, does this mean that I can have six beers? And she looked at me like, duh. Are you
could
stupid?
Probably have more.
Yeah. I went to an after party like that, but I don't remember where it was or when I left.
And it wasn't anything to do with running.
It might have been. I don't know.
You can't remember.
But I had two beers. It was a little cold out at the end. I had great music, and I regretted that I couldn't stay for all six beers. But that was a really fun after party. Some of the ones are where the small races really are the, mm-hmm. the better ones, where they're you have local beer and local restaurants that give you food, and just kind of hang out for as long as you want with people.
So it sounds like the basis of your running, your week-to-week, your day-to-day running, is your morning running group. Does that group have a name?
That it does, yeah. We're based in Jamaica Plain, and we call ourselves the JPPJs, the Jamaica Plain Pavement Junkies.
Okay. And how long has that group been around, and you've been a part of it?
It's a very, very informal group, and we've probably been around for 7 years or 8 years.
Are you a founding member?
I am a founding member. Meaning that I am the one that controls the Google group email list. So I have
so
the password.
So you love lists. We go back to that.
That's right. It's a very casual group. People kind of come and go. But the main thing about it and the reason that's been such a great group to run with is that they're great people and really good friends. But the thing that we do that is so important is that we email each other the night before.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody says, who's coming out tomorrow? And you chime in and say, yeah, I'll be there. And once you've done that, that means when you go to sleep, you're running in the morning.
Yes.
You
right.
told somebody you're going to, and so there's no decision to be made. So if you're trying to run every day, and you have one microsecond of decision to be made when the alarm goes off in the morning, you're never going to get out of bed.
Right.
Because, but if you know someone's waiting for you.
That's right.
And you've already said you're going.
Yep.
That's
it. You've committed. So
now
you're doing it.
Now, is it the same route every time? Do you meet at the same place, or is it all decision that's made the night before?
We meet at the same place. We will always meet at the same place because the name of the Google Group is Green and Rockview at googlegroups.com. And we meet on the corner of Green Street and Rockview. And it originated that way because that was the halfway point between myself and the other guy. Scott, who was the original
Hi, Scott.
Founder.
Hey, is Scott. Is he going to listen or did he just
Thanks
move?
Thanks for that. He moved. He's out of
He's
he,
gone.
He ditched us. He's still on the list.
Is he moving in with Nick?
He's moving in with Nick, yeah. That'd be a fun house.
I'd go there.
I'm going to raise that with those
yep.
guys. But it was halfway between his house and my house. And now a lot of other people have come and it's kind of a weird spot to meet. But once you have the Google group, you can't
yeah.
change No, you can't it. Change names.
And so we have a bunch of routes, and it's just the same time every morning, and then we just make a game day decision of where we're going to go.
Okay, so a lot of people think runners are crazy because you wake up really early in the morning and run. Can you confirm or deny this? When does your group meet?
When do we meet in the mm-hmm. morning? We meet at 6 o'clock every
okay.
morning.
Okay,
that's pretty good.
That's pretty
yeah,
good.
It's
pretty early,
it's,
though.
It's reasonable.
Is it all year round or is it seasonal?
All year round.
Nice.
There's a headlamp season for sure.
Sure.
Where you have six layers of clothes and you
and
can't
what's
see.
Your route? Like, what's the distance, the average? I mean, unless you're trying to work something, what's the group going to go do?
We usually run 5 miles.
Yeah.
One of the gems of Jamaica Plain is the little pieces of the emerald necklace that go through Jamaica Plain.
Yeah.
And so we have Jamaica Pond. And we have the Arnold Arboretum,
of course, yeah.
which is run by Harvard University,
yeah.
and there's trails all through there. Part of the Emerald Necklace goes all the way up to the river, so you can kind of go up that way. So, and there's Franklin Park. Forest Hill Cemetery is a really nice place to go. So there's a bunch of routes.
Yeah, there's no bad route.
There's no bad route, yeah.
So you've mentioned the Emerald Necklace a little, and I'm interested in this. It sounds like for marathons, you're a road racer, and not interested in ultras, but have you done trail races or have you moved into that arena at all?
I really haven't. Back to the Beaver Chase race, that was sort of a
you're
trail
stuck
race.
On this
yeah,
you
yeah.
were, that's not settling with
it's,
you at all.
That one was sort of in a lot of grass and there was like sort of a beach like area where you had to climb but anyway we
Peter
we
let's not run that race
yeah
I'm not gonna do that.
No, I've never done an actual
there's no
trail
real beavers
marathon.
Brian, why would I do it?
I like running on trails,
mm-hmm.
and it's fun because it's a whole different experience. I think once you start doing trails, you just don't think about your time at all. It's just a whole different
right.
thing.
Yeah, staying
and,
upright is really what you're
that's
focused
right.
on.
And you have to concentrate on every step
right.
because every step is a potential to
and
break
an
a
ankle.
Leg and
yeah.
right, bend, right, turn an ankle. So I haven't really gotten into trail racing, but I think it would really be fun, and
mm-hmm.
I get the appeal of it.
Well, now you could do a trail race in all 50 states. You're only 3 or 4 years away from having a new
that's
goal.
That's right. That could be it.
All right.
Maybe
I'm
excited to see
Beaver Chase a try again.
What your next set of goals is going to be.
Still has 10 marathons
well,
to go,
that's
Peter.
Nothing. For this guy, it's nothing. Let me say this. I'm not saying I'm psychic, but I can judge people. Go with me on this. In your real life, you're a corporate lawyer. You have an affinity for list making. You've already mentioned the hucksterism involved. Do you not see that your evolution is to become a race director?
I could do that. I do put on a race, a small neighborhood race every year. This year, we haven't set the date yet. It's going to be the 9th year. It's the Sedgwick Slog in Jamaica Plain.
Awesome.
Where I live.
Is it on Sedgwick Street?
What is the length of this race?
I know.
So the Sedgwick Slog is a four-person relay race, teams of four.
Distance?
Each person runs a mile, or 3 miles. So it's 3 miles times four, so it's a 12-mile
total. Is that 12?
Total. Yeah, I think so. I'd have to again, crunch
the numbers.
So
it's around, you'd have to, but, I don't want to, yeah, don't commit to anything
right.
that you're not ready for.
So yeah, it's a.
It's very good.
It's a.
I think HWRIT might need to put a team.
Yeah, how do we get on
that?
The?
How do we get
list
on that?
You guys are already on.
You're already
list.
On.
You don't even know it yet.
Nice.
Oh, if anybody who's ever.
What time of year is it?
It's coming up in September.
Oh, I can't make that.
August or September.
No, sounds good. That's perfect. Right.
I have a wedding that day.
Yeah, sorry. Right. I don't know what date that is, but
yeah.
I'm very busy. No, I can't wait.
Did
what
I
time?
Mention there's free beer?
That's
so
I'm here.
Talking
I'm
about
there.
The after party.
What time of day, just so I can pencil
it's
in?
It's in the morning.
Is it 6 a.m.? Because that's awfully
it's not
early.
6 a.m. No, it's a family-friendly event. People get there about 10 o'clock. We get a police escort.
Stop it. That must be where the money goes.
No, it's all part of your City of Boston tax dollars at
work.
Oh
my goodness, that's fantastic.
We have beer every year donated by VV Restaurant, which is on Center Street in Jamaica Plain.
How many people are running this event?
Yeah, roughly.
This sounds good.
It started off with three houses. There were three of us next door, and I think the first year there might have been 12 or so people. Mm-hmm. And it's gotten up to I think now we've been having 60 runners or so. And it's a fun thing. You can come and you can run or you can not run. Mm-hmm. But there's something to watch the whole time. There's, you know, something to do.
Any kind of loop, or is it straight out?
It's a loop, yeah. It goes from where we live over to Jamaica Pond, around Jamaica Pond, and back to our house.
Oh, that's excellent. Lollipop.
Little lollipop. Yeah. Now, so you've already organized that kind of race. Do you see the jump happening for a larger, bigger, badder,
multi-day,
extravaganza,
six beers per
person, palooza, helium-filled thing,
free haircuts,
right? A running race with a nitrous tank at the end.
Yeah, tattoos. People get tattoos at your race.
I like where you're going with this. It could be fun. My personal flaw that I think would make that hard is that I don't like to have input from any other people.
Well, that's
when you
the
have
best way.
A bigger race, you sort of, you know,
no, you don't.
People have to do stuff.
No,
and have
you
opinions.
Can be an island, man.
That's right.
Benevolent dictators is
fine.
That's what the world needs for a lot of situations.
For race directors,
for race directors, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Can I tell you one more thing about the Beaver Chase?
Please
race?
Do.
You were stuck. We need to help you work it out.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. No. This is. I mean, now that we're thinking about this, they closed the race. It was raining all day, and then there was
the clear lightning. Yeah.
And they sent out people on bikes to, you know, go out to different parts of the course and like flag everybody
fetch
down
everybody.
And
yeah,
say,
yeah,
you know, the race is off. You know, stop running. And so I stopped running. I'm a rule follower. And about 2 weeks after the race was over, the race director sent out an email to everybody and said, you know, thanks for coming. It was so much fun, even though we had to shut it down. You guys were great. And I was particularly impressed by those of you that just kept running after we shut it down. And I said, you can't do that.
No. I
followed the rules. And I stopped running. And I stopped at, I think, mile 21. It was like, you know, the end was in sight. And so that killed me a little bit.
I would think so.
Are you pursuing litigation?
I don't know if I can revisit it at a psychological level.
I would think the race director is concerned about liability with the lightning. So then he turns around and congratulates those scofflaws who went and kept running. That's ridiculous.
Right.
After the official shutdown.
Yeah.
It's a capital crime.
Before we let you go, how was your run today?
It was good. I came here from another event that I was watching, and so I woke up early and I did a 3 mile run in the Arnold Arboretum. And if I'm coming totally clean and being totally open and honest,
why start now?
I did a long run yesterday, and today would have been my day off.
Sure.
And so I was going to not run today, but you guys did say, you know, in preparation for this, you can. There's only one question that we're going to ask.
It's
you
only one that we're going to ask.
And so I thought, all right, I should do a run today. So I did a 3 mile hill
awesome.
Run in the Arboretum. It was a beautiful morning.
It's gorgeous today. Yeah. Perfect temperature.
Yeah, it's very good.
Other guests have just straight up lied and told us about a run they had several days ago.
Or some people say, hey, it's my off day. Sorry.
Yeah. But this was great.
This
so
is
you
way
just
better.
Went out for a three mile hill run. Three you know, mile. Cash.
That's right.
You could have just run around the block.
That's right.
Dan Janis, how do you want people to reach out to you? Because after this thing hits the street, forget about it. It's going to be atomic.
I think if you just look at my web presence, danjanis.com.
Which is
or
really,
as you were saying, yeah,
danjanis.com.
I think whatever you're thinking while you type that in might change your whole perception of the place.
Danjanis.com.
Or danjanis.com. And from there, you can find my blog and a lot of stuff about running. If you have any corporate legal needs, mergers and acquisitions work.
I was going to ask because your site really is three-pronged.
Yeah.
That's crazy. You're doing a lot there. You might as well sell lemonade on it too, man.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. You're doing it all.
You need a fourth leg
on
the stool.
Yeah,
come
your
on.
Fourth tine of the fork.
Yeah. Gosh, what would that be? I think... When the 50 states are done
yes.
and I go off onto the whole next chapter of sort of Ted Kaczynski living in the woods stuff.
I'm worried about you. I'm so worried. When you move to Beaverton, because that's clearly what you're going to do. You're going to establish the United Nations of Beaverton.
Because he's after
you. You have to get past it. You have to let it. There are only live beavers there, is what you're going to say.
You're going to become the race director of the Chase the Beaver Marathon, aren't you?
The one with real beavers.
Eventually.
Yeah, yeah. We'll have to figure out how that's going to unfold.
All right, Dan, we'll see you at the Sedgwick Slog. You'll see us in
Millinocket,
Maine.
Thanks so much
for coming down to the finish line, quite literally, of the Boston Marathon.
All right, we should get out of the street because we're going to get hit by a bus.
All the buses are coming.
Thank
we have
you
to go.
Very much, guys.
Thanks, Dan.
It was a great time.
Bye.
Hey, Brian, how great was Dan Janis today?
That was amazing. Not only did he put up with being outside the library on the sidewalk, but he told great stories, and I love that porta potty story. I mean, I love a porta potty story anyway.
Yeah.
But when the race director and his wife are driving up and down the route with a porta potty in their truck and waving, saying, "Hey, you need to use the bathroom."
That's being connected to your race, Brian. Now, let me ask you this: can you imagine a world where you accomplish a marathon in all 50 states? Does that mean anything to you,
Peter? I'm going to be perfectly honest
with you.
I don't. No one else listen.
I just want
to speak with you now.
It's just you and me. Okay. Yeah.
Someone's going to really have to work really hard to get me to go and run any road marathon.
Right, right.
Because it's hard work, Peter.
It's a lot. As you know.
I could be talked into doing a trail one.
Sure.
Or a long distance trail run.
I know, it's a tough one. As you know, I'm about to do a training run for Marine Corps.
I know, you're in it. Although, you know, it's hard. Like, if there was a marquee one, if someone's like, here's a bib to go to do the New York City Marathon,
you'd
or here's
say
a
yes.
bib to go to Chicago, or here's a bib
Tokyo.
To, well, you love the Tokyo Marathon.
Konnichiwa.
Something like that, yes. But
to do the thing with the thing and the stuff.
But
with
50 states, he's going to be like 13, 14 years into this. Now, more power to him. It's amazing. It's fantastic.
And no joke, at 44, he does look like he's about 32. Like,
yeah.
He's in great shape.
Yeah, but I'm 47. I look like I'm 108. And
no,
it's not...
In turtle years...
I'm not built for it.
No, and let me tell you something. If you're not built for it, I need a jetpack. Because I'm not even close.
I'm still trying to do that year of half marathons that keeps getting thwarted.
Let's just get you back.
That's what I'm saying.
How about hashtag rebuilding Brian is still underway.
Let's see what version 2.0 Brian looks like. Or this might be 3.0 at this point.
4.2.
Oh, God.
1.1.
Yikes.
2.0-1B.
Beep, boop, bop, boop, beep, boop, bop, boop, bop, bop.
Hey! Well, this has been... How was your run today? With Brian Gould and Peter Villa, a huge special thanks to Dan Janis for being our guest of honor today outside right at the finish line of the Boston Marathon. Literally, Brian, like we were standing on the finish line. It was crazy.
Don't get hit by a bus.
Music by Jeff Cronenberg. Anna Brooks is our social media guru. Andrea Bonnie Gould is our artist in residence.
Join us every Saturday for our Sat Stat Chat. Join us on social media. That's Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Tell us where you ran, how the weather was, and please include a sweet, sweet photo.
For everything else, check us out at hwrt.com or at howwasyourruntoday.com. We'll include a link to the great Danifesto that is Dan Janis. .com. That's danjanis.com. Hilarious, Brian.
Peter, with that, I only have one thing left to say.
Please.
Have a great run today.
I will, sir. You as well.
Goodbye.
Hey, buddy.
What's going on?
Get out of here.
Please back off.
Yeah.
We're
just talking about running.
No, this is just a little snippet, Brian.
No. It's too freaking hard to edit. This is either the beginning of a show or it's the end of a show. I'm telling you, I don't have 5 hours to put this show together.
Then let's do this. Hey, Brian, how great was Dan Janis today?
That was amazing. Not only did he put up with being outside the library and the side. I mean, I love a porta potty story anyway.